are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. If you have been with Jesus, or if you are with Jesus, that means that you have received Him into your heart as His, as your own personal Savior. And salvation is a personal matter. If we're going to have life, life eternal, we must personally know the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love that brought our Savior into this world to die and to be raised the third day so that we could know Him, so that we could know life. This is because of Your love and because of His love. And we thank You and we praise You for it. Our desire is to return that love and to show You by the life that we live that we love You and appreciate all of Your rich blessings to us. So bless our precious congregation today as we endeavor to share a gospel message with them. May it be blessed by the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden, the Lord of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And all the joy that flooded my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me, and shall eternity roll. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Let me remind you that you're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, and we are truly thankful that you are a part of our congregation today. And our Bible lesson today will be entitled Laying On of Hands. In Genesis chapter 48, we read how Joseph brought his two sons to his father after Jacob had come into the land of Egypt, and Jacob laid his hands on the two sons. He laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, and Joseph objected to that because he was the youngest of the two, and Jacob let Joseph know that he was aware of the fact that he was putting his hand on the youngest, but he was doing it intentionally. It was not a mistake. And Jacob then proceeded to tell what Ephraim and his seed would do in the future. And then he told the older son also what he would do, what he and his seed would do as well. And then we read in verse 20, and he, Jacob, blessed them that day by laying on of their hands and of giving them the blessing. In Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 through 23, we read of how God instructed Moses to take Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, thus showing Israel that Joshua had been given authority to help rule over them. And this was given and evidenced by Moses laying his hands upon Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, after Moses had died, and the children of Israel had observed 30 days of mourning, we read, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So through the laying on of the hands of Moses, Joshua was given a greater spirit, a greater anointing, and greater wisdom. Sacrificial offerings did not have their origin with the Mosaic law. It only directed specifically how such offerings should be made by those under it. Cain and Abel, Noah and Abraham, and others offered sacrifices, but we do not read of just how they went about it. Nothing is said about them laying on hands if it was an animal sacrifice. After the children of Israel came out of Egypt, we read in Leviticus chapter 1, where the Lord gave instructions for Moses as to how an Israelite was to go about making an offering of an animal. And this is what he said: if his offering be a burnt sacrifice, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. That's verses 3 and 4 of Leviticus chapter 1. And then we read in verse 5, then Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar. On the day of atonement, Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. Now, this was the Day of Atonement, and that was only one day out of the year, and it was the highest day of the entire year as far as the religious system that Moses was given by God to institute. And they had two, because one of the animals was to be slain, but both of them was a type of Christ. And one was slain, and of course they could not lead that one out into the wilderness, so they had to have two. And after the one was slain, then Aaron was to lay his hands on the goat, both hands, on the goat, and confess the sins of the people, and then a fit person was to lead that goat out into the wilderness, away where no one lived, and turn it loose. Now, this was a type of Jesus forgiving us of all our sins and not remembering them against us forever no more. Some people have advanced the idea that the goat represented the devil and our sins being put on him, but that is far from the truth. Jesus Christ is the one that bore our sins, and he was the one that forgave us of our sins if we are a child of God today. So what we have just read here is a type of Jesus Christ forgiving us of our sins, wiping them out of his remembrance to remember them against us forever no more. Here I would like to quote from the late R.R. Byram's book, Shadows of Good Things. Come with me in the imagination to the ancient brazen altar and witness the observance of at the east side of the altar, just inside the gate of the court. Here comes an earnest-appearing Israelite leading a bullock by a halter. A priest, robed in white linen garments, approaches him, directs him with the animal to the north side of the altar. The offerer here solemnly places his hand upon the bullock in token of his identifying himself with it, that it may suffer in his stead, that it may die for his sins, that its life may be poured out that his way may be retained. Then he slowly reaches for and unsheaths a large knife provided for the purpose. With one quick stroke, he cuts the bullock's throat, and it falls prostrate and quivering upon the ground. While it struggles in the throes of death, the skillful hand of the priest holds to the wound a vessel provided for the purpose to catch the blood. The priest carries the blood to the altar, where it is dashed or sprinkled over the altar to symbolize the important fact that this life is given to God for atonement. His laying on of his hands makes this a personal matter. And again, I emphasize the fact that these sacrifices were typical of the supreme sacrifice of the Son of God, and their laying their hands upon them is indicative of the fact that we must personally come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess and forsake our sins. No one else can do that for us. Now, when we come to the new covenant, all animal sacrifices have ceased. Yet we find the practice of laying on of hands continues. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18, we find a certain ruler coming to Jesus saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." That, of course, was accomplished because Jesus did indeed go and raise his son or his daughter back to life. In Mark 10, verses 13 through 16, we find little children brought to Jesus, and he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, we read, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." In Acts chapter 6, we read of seven men who were chosen, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, to take care of the widows and their children, to see to it that they were properly taken care of and properly fed. And the scripture says, "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." Philip was one of the seven, and later Philip went to Samaria and had a real revival there. Souls were saved, devils were cast out, the believers were baptized, and sick were healed. But they did not receive the Holy Spirit at that time. The apostles at Jerusalem heard of this revival that had broken out in Samaria, and so they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And after they arrived there, Peter and John laid their hands on them, and that is those that had been converted, those that had been saved and baptized. John and Peter laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8 and verse 17. After Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, he went on into Damascus, and he was there 3 days fasting and praying without sight. And Jesus spoke to a man there in Damascus by the name of Ananias, a disciple of Christ. And he told this man, Ananias, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now, Ananias at first objected because he had heard about all the persecution that Saul had carried on against the disciples at Jerusalem. But the Lord assured Ananias that Saul was a different person. He prayeth now. And so Ananias went down the street called Straight to the Judas's house, and there he went in, and he told Brother Saul about what the Lord had told him, and he laid his hands upon him and prayed for him, and he received his sight, and he also received the Holy Spirit at that time. Now, while the saints were at Antioch, fasting and praying and ministering to the people, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Saul had been sent home from Jerusalem because there was quite a bit of disturbance and trouble there, and so he had gone home to Tarsus. But we find that he was brought to Antioch, and there Barnabas and he, along with others, were ministering to the people. And we read here in Acts 13, that the Spirit of God moved upon them and said to the saints there at Antioch, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they laid hands on Saul and Barnabas before they sent them away, and that was an indication of added power, and also let Paul and Barnabas know that the church was standing with them and backing them up with their prayers as they went forth on what we know as the first missionary journey. Paul found 12 disciples at Ephesus that had not received the Spirit. After Paul explained some things to them, he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And Paul laid his hands on the father of Publius, and this is one of the islands that Paul was on in his missionary journey. And Publius's father was sick, and so Paul laid his hands on Publius, who was sick of a fever and a bloody flux, and prayed for him, and he was healed. That's Acts chapter 28 and verse 8. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. James did not say the elders should lay hands on the sick, as he instructed the sick to call for the elders in James 5 and 14. But we do read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, where it says, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." From these passages of Scripture, it is evident that the laying on of hands was very important in various phases of the gospel work. In some, it was in connection of the receiving the Spirit. In others, it was conveying added power. And in others, it was showing confidence in the individual and the support of the church. Whatever God instructs to be done is not to be taken lightly. In our own ministry, whenever we get ready to ordain one of our brothers to the ministers lay hands on them and pray for them. And occasionally in our conventions, a minister that is to speak in the evangelistic service at night, may ask the ministers to lay hands upon him that he might have added anointing and inspiration as he brings the message for the service. Again, I say, whatever God instructs to be done is not to be taken lightly. And we find in the Old Testament scriptures, as well as in the New, where God instructed at times for hands to be laid upon them, and added confidence, added power, added anointing is the results. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, and they might be blessed and benefited by our study on this subject, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. It is a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week, and we do trust that it is a blessing to you. And as we've said many times, if our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to let us know. Now, our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Hagerstown is spelled HAGERSTOWN. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage. You may also join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our Wednesday evening service at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. We trust the broadcast has been a blessing, and we trust you'll be with us next week when again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Yes, there's too much to gain.